Chapter 2. Of the nature of an end in general, and some distinctions about it. 1. The end of anything is that which the agent intendeth to accomplish in and by the operation which is proper unto its nature, and which it applieth itself unto, that which any one aimeth at, and designeth in himself to attain, as a thing good and desirable unto him in the state and condition wherein he is. So the end which Noah proposed unto himself in the building of the ark was the preservation of himself and others. According to the will of God, he made an ark to preserve himself and his family from the flood according to all that God commanded him. So did he, Genesis 6:22. That which the agent doth, or whereto he applieth himself, for the compassing his proposed end, is called the means. Which two do complete the whole reason of working and free intellectual agents, for I speak only of such as work according to choice or election. So Absalom intending a revolt from his father, to procure the crown and kingdom for himself, he prepared him horses and chariots, and 50 men to run before him, 2 Samuel 15:1. And farther, by fair words, and glossing compliances, he stole the hearts of the men of Israel, verse 6. Then pretends a sacrifice at Hebron, where he makes a strong conspiracy, verse 12. All which were the means he used for the attaining of his fore proposed end. 2. Between both these, end and means, there is this relation, that though in sundry kinds they are mutually causes one of another. The end is the first, principal, moving cause of the whole. It is that for whose sake the whole work is. No agent applies itself to action but for an end. And were it not by that determined to some certain effect, thing, way, or manner of working, it would no more do one thing than another. The inhabitants of the old world desiring and intending unity and cohabitation, with perhaps some reserves to provide for their safety against a second storm, they cry, "Go to, let us build us a city, and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth," Genesis 11:4. First, they lay down their aim and design, and then let out the means in their apprehension conducing thereunto. And manifest, then, it is, that the whole reason and method of affairs that a wise worker or agent, according to the counsel, proposeth to himself is taken from the end which he aims at. That is, in intention and contrivance, the beginning of all that order which is in working. Now, the means are all those things which are used for the attaining of the end proposed, as meat for the preservation of life, sailing in a ship for him that would pass the sea, laws for the quiet continuance of human society. And they are the procuring cause of the end, in one kind or another. Their existence is for the end's sake, and the end hath its rise out of them, following them either morally as their desert, or naturally as their fruit and product. First, in a moral sense. When the action and the end are to be measured or considered in reference to a moral rule, or law prescribed to the agent, then the means are the deserving or meritorious cause of the end. As, if Adam had continued in his innocency, and done all things according to the law given unto him, the end procured thereby had been a blessed life to eternity. As now the end of any sinful act is death, the curse of the law. Secondly, when the means are considered only in their natural relation, then they are the instrumentally efficient cause of the end. So Job intending the death of Abner, he smote him with his spear under the fifth rib, that he died, 2 Samuel 3:27. And when Benaiah, by the command of Solomon, fell upon Shimei, the wounds he gave him were the efficient of his death, 1 Kings 2:46. In which regard there is no difference between the murdering of an innocent man and the executing of an offender. But as they are under a moral consideration, their ends follow their deservings, in respect of conformity to the rule, and so there is chasma mega between them. 3. The former consideration, by reason of the defect and perverseness of some agents for otherwise these things are coincident, holds out a twofold end of things, first, of the work, and, secondly, of the workman. Of the act and the agent, for when the means assigned for the attaining of any end are not proportioned unto it, nor fitted for it, according to that rule which the agent is to work by, then it cannot be but that he must aim at one thing and another follow, in respect of the morality of the work. So Adam is enticed into a desire to be like God. This now he makes his aim, which to effect he eats the forbidden fruit, and that contracts a guilt which he aimed not at. But when the agent acts aright, and as it should do, when it aims at an end that is proper to it, belonging to its proper perfection and condition, and worketh by such means as are fit and suitable to the end proposed, the end of the work and the workman are one and the same. As when Abel intended the worship of the Lord, he offered a sacrifice through faith, acceptable unto him, or as a man, desiring salvation through Christ, applieth himself to get an interest in him. Now, the sole reason of this diversity is, that secondary agents, such as men are, have an end set and appointed to their actions by him which giveth them an external rule or law to work by, which shall always attend them in their working, whether they will or no. God only, whose will and good pleasure is the sole rule of all those works which outwardly are of him, can never deviate in his actions, nor have any end attend or follow his acts not precisely by him intended. For again, the end of every free agent is either that which he effecteth, or that for whose sake he doth effect it. When a man builds a house to let to hire, that which he effecteth is the building of a house. That which moveth him to do it is love of gain. The physician cures the patient, and is moved to it by his reward. The end which Judas aimed at in his going to the priests, bargaining with them, conducting the soldiers to the garden, kissing Christ, was the betraying of his master. But the end for whose sake the whole undertaking was set on foot was the obtaining of the 30 pieces of silver, what will ye give me, and I will do it. The end which God effected by the death of Christ was the satisfaction of his justice. The end for whose sake he did it was either supreme, or his own glory, or subordinate, ours with him. 5. Moreover, the means are of two sorts. First, such as have a true goodness in themselves without reference to any farther kind, though not so considered as we use them for means. No means, as a means, is considered as good in itself, but only as conducible to a farther end. It is repugnant to the nature of means, as such, to be considered as good in themselves. Study is in itself the most noble employment of the soul. But, aiming at wisdom or knowledge, we consider it as good only inasmuch as it conducteth to that end, otherwise as a weariness of the flesh, Ecclesiastes 12:12. Secondly, such as have no good at all in any kind, as in themselves considered, but merely as conducing to that end which they are fit to attain. They receive all their goodness which is but relative from that whereunto they are appointed, in themselves no way desirable. As the cutting off a leg or an arm for the preservation of life, taking a bitter potion for health's sake, throwing corn and lading into the sea to prevent shipwreck. Of which nature is the death of Christ, as we shall afterward declare. 6. These things being thus proposed in general, our next task must be to accommodate them to the present business in hand. Which we shall do in order, by laying down the agent working, the means wrought and the end effected, in the great work of our redemption. For these three must be orderly considered and distinctly, that we may have a right apprehension of the whole into the first whereof, Son Theo, we make an entrance in chapter 3.